Kathy M. from Lemon Grove.
Hi, my name is Kathy, and I'm an alcoholic. And, you know, I used to work at the phones at Central Office when I first got sober, and I had a friend who worked there with me. His name was Bill Schooler, and he passed away a few years ago. But I had another job during the day, and I would come from the one job and go to the office and answer phones. And I came in one night, and I said, you know, where my other job, we only have 2 minutes. You have to be on the phone, off the phone, because people are calling you, and you just have to do it in 2 minutes or less, get off the phone. I said, it feels really good to me to sit down, and an alcoholic woman called me and just said, where's this meeting or that meeting, whatever, and we talked for 20 minutes. And I said, wow, I said, that was really fun to be able to do that. And he started laughing, and I said, what is so funny? And he said, you know, an alcoholic can't even give you the time of day in 2 minutes. So I'm not sure how I'm going to do with 10, but I'll try my best. I used to go to a meeting when I got sober. It started out in Lemon Grove, and then it went to Porter Hall, and then it went down to Spring Valley, the Saturday night speaker meeting over there. And there was a guy that went to this meeting when I got sober named Art. And Art, every week, Art would tell a joke. Before anybody spoke, anybody did anything, Art had to stand up there and tell a joke. So pretty much whenever I speak, I tell a joke because it's just, you know, it just sounds like how I got sober, you know. So I got to tell you about these two guys. They're fishing in this boat on this lake. And they're sitting there drinking their beer, and they're having a great time fishing. It's nice outside. They're just enjoying it. I'm thinking probably not in San Diego anywhere, but, you know, somewhere back where they have actual lakes and things. And they're sitting in the lake, and they're just sitting in their little boat and enjoying themselves. And the little bottle floats by in the water. And the one guy reaches out and picks it up, brushes it off a little bit, and a genie pops out. And the genie says, since you have released me, I will give you one wish. And the guy says, I've got it. Turn the lake into beer. And the genie says, done. And they look down, and there's all the beer, and the genie's gone. And the second guy looks at the first guy and says, nice going. Now we got to pee in the boat. That's about my very favorite alcoholic joke, because you guys really get that one, you know. Most normies just look at you like, what? What? You know, why would you want to make the lake into beer, you know. But anyway, what it used to be like, what happened, and what it's like now. What it used to be like, I drank too much. For a long time, I drank too much. We were talking at dinner about the disease of more. I have that. Anything that there is that I can have more of, I want it, whatever it is. You know, anything to drink, anything to, you know, any kind of thing that'll make me feel different or not feel anything, I want that. And I did that for a long, long time. And then I had this boyfriend who drank vodka right out of the bottle from the toilet tank, because that's where he hid them so that I wouldn't find them. And I said, well, see, I'm not an alcoholic at all, because, you know, he's an alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic. I don't drink the way he does. I never drink vodka straight out of the bottle. That stuff's disgusting. You got to mix it with something, you know, like this much orange juice, you know, to make it look respectable like I did. And so I got this guy in my life that drank, you know, all the time, pretty much. His family knew a lot about him before I did. He was a steady drinker for 25 years, and his family pretty much knew that that's what was going to happen when he got with me, that he'd stay sober for a little while because I was perfect for him. And then he'd start drinking again, and I'd dump him. You know, they pretty much knew that was going to happen. And, well, what happened was I just didn't see myself as an alcoholic. I saw him as an alcoholic. And so I went to Al-Anon. And let me tell you, I know that there are Al-Anons that go to this meeting, and I'm really, really glad. By all rights, there should be 5 times as many people in Al-Anon as there are in AA, because for every alcoholic, 5 people are affected, probably. And yet there aren't. And that's because people that live with alcoholics don't think there's really a problem. You know, if I don't go to meetings, I'm going to die. But in Al-Anon, there's not that problem. So anyway, I went to Al-Anon for a while. The boyfriend that I had, his sponsor was dumb enough to give me his phone number, and so my boyfriend would get drunk, and I'd call his sponsor and say, "He's drunk again. What do I do?" And the man would say, "Kick him out and go to Al-Anon and crash down the phone on me." So naturally, eventually, I got the message and I went to Al-Anon. I started going to the speaker meeting, the one that Art went to. He passed away a couple years ago now, but I started going to the speaker meeting as an Al-Anon, you know, because it was nice to be able to hear the stories of all these alcoholics. And eventually, I got the guts to up and made him move out. I said, "I can't live like this anymore." And after a little while, after he had moved out and I'd been going to Al-Anon, I said, "You know, I really don't think I'm an alcoholic. You know, I really don't, because I was a periodic for a long time." I said, "I don't think I really have a problem with alcohol." So I, of course, got drunk. It was over Labor Day weekend, so I'm coming up on 12 years pretty quick here. In a couple more weeks, I'll take a cake at this meeting. But I just got drunk, and I said, the next morning I called my girlfriend, who was an alcoholic in recovery, that went to that same speaker meeting, and I said, "You know, I think I might be an alcoholic. What do I do now?" And she said, "Well, duh, go to a meeting." And I said, "Okay." So we went to the speaker meeting, and I started my journey of recovery from that point. And it really has been a journey for me. I have a plaque in my house that says, "This is not the life I ordered." And it's really not. There's nothing about the life that I have today that I would have known to have when I was drinking. There's nothing about it. In fact, I got that plaque on the island of Catalina in Avalon, a city over there, because it so typifies my recovery. That's why I got that plaque, because I was in Catalina when I bought it. I said, you know, when I was drinking and doing my stuff, sitting on that bar stool, I was going to go everywhere. I was going to travel, I was going to do all these things and go to all these classes and help all these people. And of course, mostly what I ended up doing was sitting on that bar stool and drinking at home and, you know, whoever would put up with me. And today, I get to actually do things like travel, like go to conventions, like go to big speaker meetings. Okay, what it used to be like was I drank too much. What it happened was I realized I was an alcoholic, and it could have been worse. Because what I really wanted, when I first got sober, I had a bunch of stuff that happened in my life, and all I really wanted to do was stay drunk for the rest of my life. And God said, "No, that's not how it's working." He said, "Go to that Alano Club down in Lemon Grove where I live." He said, "Go to that Alano Club. They'll help you there." And I went to that Alano Club, and they said, "God is in charge." And I went, "All right." So I surrendered right then and there. I had about 60 days, 90 days of sobriety, or I think it was 60. And I surrendered right then and there, and I became an alcoholic. And what it's like now is so amazing, that in anybody that's new, stick around until the miracle happens, because there are so many miracles in this program. They become, I think, kind of commonplace for us, because there's so many things that happen that I never could have imagined. There's places I've been and things that I've done that I didn't even know I wanted to do. And it's just the most wonderful family that I've ever, ever had. I had a family that I grew up with, and we don't really get along all that well because they don't understand who I am. You know, I was raised in a normal family. That's what my mother kept telling me when my father drank all the time. Every family goes through this. And the thing is that when I came in here and realized that I could have this family, that this was mine for the taking, that all I had to do was suit up and show up and my life would get better, immeasurably better, I didn't know it was really going to happen. And I'm so grateful to all of you for being here and 12-stepping me every week. Thank you very much.